team. My name is Dirkie. I don't know if there's people that came in maybe, after we asked if there's any new visitors. If you're not aware, Richard and Jolene, the pastors of this church, is currently not here. They're away with the family a little bit, so I have the opportunity to share the word today. Can I just say, it was really cool for me when during worship. I'm a sports person, so I absolutely love sports, so please forgive the sporting metaphor for everybody that doesn't like sport. But during worship, I really just had that feeling of when you're, at a live event, and the crowd is full, everybody's cheering together, it's like the team's winning, and it was a beautiful moment of just us actually, worshiping together, and praising God in that sense, and, it was a really, really nice moment. And earlier in prayer, one of the stuff that just came through in prayer as well was like the reason why we gather, the reason why we get teachings is to be in the presence of God and to worship Him and to have a relationship with Him. And that moment right there was just that is part of exactly why we're here. So I was just loving it. So thanks, guys. Thanks, band and everybody. Thanks to the choir. The audience of one really enjoyed it, I'm pretty sure. Basically, when Richard said, "Hey, listen, can you please, preach on this particular day?" I said, "Yeah, I'm always in for something like this. I love to do it." And I started praying and I asked God, "Okay, but, what's the message on your heart?" And for, a couple of weeks before he even asked, I had this one idea in my mind of, at some point I would really love to do this. And the Lord said, this is the time, this is what I want you to preach on. Now, before I can do this, I need to give you a whole bunch of background. Now, some of you might have heard some testimonies of what happened when I was in 2012 on a missions trip. So I've got a slide over there with some photos. Maybe if we can dim the front lights more, then we can maybe see that one on the left-hand side a bit better. Left. So in 2012, I did a gap year missions trip where we basically as a group of guys went and we preached that the kingdom of God is at hand. And to just give you context of what the setup is. So the guys in the middle, that's us. We've got one team leader and the rest of us. So just a group of guys that you've never met in your life before, haven't seen them, haven't heard from them, come together in Jeffreys Bay at the start of the year in January. And then we have 2 months training and then we fly out into the world backpacking in very uncomfortable, low budget conditions to go preach wherever God sends you. So we had an idea beforehand where we would be going, but then the Lord changed that. So we ended up in different places as well. But basically, you sit with a group of guys that really don't know each other. It's not the typical friendship group that forms, over time, and you pick the person that you like and you don't like. It's a group of 6 guys that, just God put together. Now, if on the left you can see that's a guy dressed up as Jesus. I'm the woman that's die verleidelike vrou. What would that be? The woman that was the temptation in the play. Then part of what we would do at Global Challenge was we would go to a long-term missionaries organization or church and we would connect with them before we get there and we'd say, how can we help you? How can we strengthen your hands and strengthen your ministry so that you can be more effective in ministry? So some of the stuff that we would do is we would sometimes they said, well, we've got this massive shed that we need to break down. I'm like, yeah, sure. Give us a chainsaw, some sledgehammers. We'll do it. No worries. Other times it was like we were at an orphanage in India and we did kids ministry. We did a fundraiser and we built them an extra building because they were only capable of, hosting, boys because they only had one room for all 20 boys to sleep in. So they needed another room in order to also host girls. We went all across. So the next slide is basically a world map with our itinerary on. This doesn't include stopovers. This was just the countries that we got out. So basically we went from South Africa to England to Guatemala, Mexico, Canada, back to England, Jordan, Israel, Egypt, India, south of India, Malaysia, Australia, Indonesia, and back. Which is quite a bit to travel. And like I said, the budget for this trip was ridiculously small. It was definitely in such a manner that you couldn't end the year unless some miracles happened. We definitely spent some nights sleeping in the parks with the homeless. We sometimes, you know, slept in tents next to the highway because nobody picked us up on a hitchhiking lift. We ate, I think, 5 days of McDonald's leftovers at the airport that, you know, people, oh, I've got a flight, and then they just leave it, and then we just, you know, slept in the airport floor and ate the McDonald's. So, I mean, this was a really crazy trip. In India, there's not enough tickets for everybody that wants to get onto the train. So it's a very common practice to just buy the tickets that you can and then just get on the train if you don't have one and, you know, pay the fine. It's very common practice. But that also means if it's a two-day train trip, there's a lot of people on the train. And the bed is about, 40 centimeters wide, which means then you and your friend have to share that bed. So the group of six guys that really don't knew each other beforehand and have completely different personalities, they got real close. Really, really close. Uncomfortably close as well. And of course, we come from different churches and different backgrounds. And to make, you know, our particular circumstances just a little bit, you know, more unusual than the rest is that our leader was 26 years old at the time. And the rest of us was 18, straight out of matric, and one guy 19. And I was by far the most, you know, spiritually mature. Most of them only came to the Lord in the past year or so. The one guy admittedly claimed that he came to the Lord 2 years after this mission trip. He came with really good intentions, but really only got spirit-filled and so on, you know, after the missions trip. Picture this. You're trying to minister, you know, and you're going out, and it's just this, you know, people that's getting uncomfortably close to one another. The personalities clash, you know, like the immaturity levels of just teenage boys really still, and everything is at play. So, and one of the stuff that we got warned ahead of time as well, and they do this during training, is that unity within your team is crucial. It's absolutely crucial. Because the problem is, if you don't have unity, you know, you can't minister really all that effective. So our unity, you know, seriously got challenged. And so, yeah, the Lord told me, listen, I want you to preach on unity. And I'm like, Lord, yeah, this is not Global Challenge. This is Frontier so far. I mean, like, we're not struggling with unity. It's like, yeah, well, let's keep it that way. So the sermon is not get unity, because maybe there's something happening that I don't know. But it is protected. We're sitting here with something so incredibly special. We have fellowship. We have, you know, groups of people that just help out wherever. We've got, you know, everybody is involved. You know, we worship in a unit. It's phenomenal. And I genuinely didn't think of saying the whole sports metaphor, you know, as a planned thing. That was genuinely something that I felt. And it's not premeditated. That was really what I felt. So it was so, so cool. And it's so special. So, yeah, the sermon is basically just protecting the unity that we've got. Because the thing is, when you minister, and when we went on this mission trip, I mean, and for everybody that has been, you know, hearing about this mission trip of me quite a lot, my dad always says, God is new and fresh every morning. Don't get hung up with the miracles of, you know, 20 years ago. It's almost been 20 years, I know. But, you know, every time when I ask the Lord, what should I preach on? What should I say? He refers me back to this and say, well, I gave you all those experiences and miracles for a reason. You've got to go teach it. You know, so here it is, me again, Global Challenge. So when you go out and minister, when you are making, you know, ground and victory in the spiritual realm, the enemy doesn't like it. Seriously, he doesn't like it, and he's going to try and put a pause onto this. And if unity gets disrupted, that puts a pause on the effectiveness of ministry. It doesn't mean ministry cannot happen, but the effectiveness of it definitely takes a knock, definitely takes a pause. So, healing center in mind. You know, our hearts are pushing for revival, the prophecies about revival, everything. Like, we're making so much ground and victory, you know, in this space. And I believe God is kind of like saying, hey, listen, you know, as we go through this, protect the unity that you've got. Because the moment you don't have that unity, that momentum that we have, you know, gets dampened, gets paused and everything like that. Basically, you know, the irony of this all with our team, and I'm putting it really lightly as to how difficult that year was. Emotionally, that was ridiculously challenging in terms of unity. To the one point where I actually physically, you know, hit one of my teammates because he was annoying me that much. And it was basically right next to the pastor that was hosting us. It was a kind of like a elbow into his tummy, and then his face came over my chin, and I, you know, hit him with my shoulder on his chin, and I heard the teeth go. It wasn't one of my proudest moments at all. But just to give you an idea of, yeah, our unity seriously got disrupted that year. And the irony of it all was, one of the stuff that we would do a lot was kids ministry. And the thing that we loved to preach about the most was unity and the body of Christ and how we should work together. We struggled with that ourselves so much. The good news is that exactly that kids ministry skit that we performed, we have here today. I want to invite onto stage a couple of my small group members and one or two other people. I think just one. Please come onto stage, because what we are about to do is we're going to show you the skit of the body of Christ in unity. Oh yeah. Give a hand. So bear in mind, we had about 5 minutes of rehearsal time. So hopefully this works. Guys, you're going to have to stand over here. There's not space over there. Okay. So basically what we would do is we would go to an orphanage, we would go to some churches, we would go, you know, sometimes we just do this in the streets, and get a group of people together and preach on the unity. So bear with me. We're going to go full kids church for just a brief moment. Do enjoy it. Bring your, you know, childlike heart out. Okay. By the way, for those of you that don't know, this is Anker. I'm not going to introduce everybody because you will hear their names now anyways. Okay, Anker, how's it going, mate? Tell me, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a speed cop.
And if you want to be a speed cop, how are you going to do it? Show me.
Stop. Come here. Get onto the pavement.
Oh, there we are. Okay. Kuna? What do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a gymnast.
A gymnast? Well, you better start warming up then.
One and two. Down and up.
Oh, okay, there we go. And then we've got Lovo. Lovo, please tell me. What do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a carpenter.
How are you going to carpet? Show me.
One, two, three, to the wall.
So he's going to measure things out and hit it to the wall, man. Okay? And then we've got Sean. Sean, what do you want to be when you grow up?
I want to be a painter.
A painter. And how are you going to paint? And then we've got Millery, my lovely wife. What would you... Oh, by the way, sorry. If you are listening to this on an MP3 and you have absolutely no visuals of what's happening, hopefully there will be a video sent to you and we can perform something afterwards and record it. I don't know. But we're performing something really cool. If people are laughing, it means that it went wrong. If they clap hands, it means it went really well. Okay. So, Millery, my lovely wife, what would you like to be when you grow up?
Dancer.
She wants to be a dancer. And show me, how would you dance? Yeah, toes bow down and then plie. And what's going to happen now is guys, you seem like awesome people and you know what you want to do. Go and do it. Well done, guys. Well done, guys. Now, ladies and gentlemen, this is unity working together perfectly. Everybody knows their roles. They know what they want to do. Each person has their special thing. Now, what do you think is going to happen if everybody wants to be a speed corp? What do you think is going to happen? Let's see. One, two, three.
Stop. Come here. Get
out. Yeah, that's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Thank you, everybody. Yeah, have a seat. Everybody cannot be a speed cop. Eh? Now, if we were fully committed on that one, eh, then we could have gone all the way through. But I don't think that's what we want to do today. But I think for us, this was just the perfect example of explaining the concept of if the body of Christ is at work, then it can work smoothly. And it looks cool. For everybody that's listening in, I really hope you get a video. We did this whole thing where we went up and down and almost hit each other in the face, but never did. It was really, really cool. Just imagine it. So basically, it's just this really, really cool representation. And you know, like I said, the irony is that was our favorite thing to do at kids ministry, but we kind of got it wrong in practical life as well. And you know, it got to the point of where, you know, during about two-thirds into the year, we had a visitor from one of the leadership came over to us, which was a standard practice, but this guy basically, you know, came and helped us to find unity again and so on. And one of the things that he told me was, dude, I know you came halfway across the world to go preach the gospel to the nation, but currently your mission field is within your team. And you know, I had to readjust where I was focusing. And that's the thing that happens when you've got disunity within the group, is your focus changes from reaching outside, but you have to first fix what's inside. Because otherwise, what is inside is the thing that overflows to the outside, right? So, I mean, there we go. So, in terms of why unity is important, that's exactly this. If you don't have unity, you can't minister through the Spirit. The overflow from the Spirit is what you want to minister out of. So when you're involved in, you know, the healing center or here on a Sunday or, you know, wherever it is, you know, at work ministry or wherever it is, you know, walking at the street, if there's unity within your heart, if there's unity within the body of Christ, if everything's working, then we minister, we reach the world, you know, through the overflow of, you know, from the Spirit that it gives us. Right? So basically, which means you have to focus more on yourself and the team to sort out social differences and find agreement on doctrinal stuff rather than, you know, being able to minister. So the baseline is, you know, disunity just disrupts it. Now, how do we protect unity? So, one of the first things we have to think about when how we protect unity is we got to understand the different body parts. Ooh, that was small. Sorry about that. In order to know the talents and gifts, if you know, hey, listen, there is a policeman, there is a, you know, there is a gymnast, there is a carpenter, there's a painter, and there's a dancer, you know, and a narrator, you know. If you know the different roles, then you can find yourself within those spaces and ask God, hey, use me in this, use me in this. Or you can say, oh, God is using me in this. I should totally step into that. So if we look at 1 Corinthians 12, perfect little chapter about, you know, the body of Christ and in unity. And what it says is, you know, all of you together are the body of Christ and each of us is part of it. Here are some parts that has been appointed for the church. First is the apostles, Second is the prophets. Third are the teachers. And that's three of the roles. I think we normally speak about the fivefold ministry as well. And they've got a list that also is in, you know, 1 Corinthians 12. You know, there's a gift of wisdom, a gift of knowledge, a gift of faith. You know, there's a gift of healing. There's a gift of performing miracles, of prophecy. By the way, the second are the prophets and prophecy. That's two different things. You know, there's a anointing of a prophet, and there is God using it with in prophecy. Of course, the prophet uses prophecy quite a lot. But then, you know, the discernment of spirits, you know, praying in tongues and being able to interpret tongues. Now, I mean, if we read this list, I mean, this is just some of it. We're not through the whole list yet. But, I mean, these are some of the stuff and the roles that, that we have at church. Right? And I'm thinking of, you know, those days where somebody prays in tongues out loud and somebody says, yes, I've got the interpretation for it. I mean, how cool is that? If you have this, and the body of Christ is, of course, the whole church, but then we, you know, as a congregation also resembles the whole body and, you know, and should have the different functionalities of it. But, I mean, how cool is it if God wants to say to us something very directly and somebody can just pray in tongues and somebody says, cool, I know the interpretation to that. I mean, how effective can we minister? How, like, cool is that during worship if God can directly speak to us, you know, through, you know, one or two people in that manner? I mean, that's, yo, that excites me. And I'm thinking here, it's like, okay, cool. You know, do we have this body part in our church? Like, is there somebody that is really just walking in the gift of interpreting tongues? Like, is there somebody here that's pursuing that, that God says, hey, listen, I've got this for you. I want to give that to you. Are we pursuing it? You know, prophecy. Paul speaks about prophecy and how it edifies the church, and like so much can be, you know, accomplished through prophecy. And I'm thinking, like, yo, are we pursuing it? You know, are we pursuing it? Paul says, I urge you, pray for these things. These are gifts. And hey, you're not limited to one. Hey, these are gifts. You're not limited to one. You know, ask for them all. You know, do effort to really just dig into it and delve into it. You know, to perform miracles, healing, hey, healing center, you know. Are we pursuing it? Because the more we have of this, it means the healthier the body is, the stronger the body is. I mean, if you've got a bicep, hey, that's okay. But if you've got a bicep, you know, that's like really big, way bigger than this, then, you know, you can achieve more, which is amazing. So I want to urge you, pursue this stuff so that we can, you know, become bodybuilders for Christ. Some of the other ones, you know, worship leading. It's part of it. It's part of, you know, connecting to God and a role that God has appointed, you know, through this. We, you know, and this one, sorry, there's a star next to it because I need to share a story. That's my star. Strength. Guys, you know, like Samson in Judges, you know, he had a physical strength that the Lord gave him, so it's like a physical spiritual strength. We met this guy in Guatemala. He's a pastor, Pastor Ben. Legit guy, used to be a Satanist. He came to the Lord through really awesome miracles and stuff like that. And then there was this landslide, you know, mudslide thing that destroyed so many houses in Guatemala. And he recently came to the Lord. So he's just like, well, if we need to go and, you know, help the poor and we need to get help out in the need, that's what I'm going to start doing. I'm going to minister through building houses. And I mean, it's steep. It is ridiculously steep. If you've been up to the Toy Scorp, imagine houses, you know, and it's small, narrow. There's no roads, there's just walkways. It is ridiculous. But now he needs to go build houses up there with hardly any resources. By himself. All those cement bags. And he just said, well, you know, the Lord gives me strength and I can do all things through him who gives me strength. And he just started picking up, you know, 3-4 cement bags and started walking up the mountain. I've been up that mountain. It was a long walk. He just literally, it wasn't the thing of, you know, he gradually, you know, became strong. I mean, I look at the guy and it's like, yeah, he's big and strong. But then it's like four of us holding this, you know, cement block, which is the lid of a well. And we're holding it and he speaks about who dug the well and, you know, da 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 da. And eventually it's like, okay, cool, you can put it back. And we're like, And he's like, okay, now let's just put it over here. Boom. And he puts it back on. And we're like, what is happening? And he's just like, oh yeah, no, you know, God gave me physical strength in the spirit. So he's like ridiculously strong today, you know, in spirit. So yeah, Samsung is not a once-off wonder apparently. You know, I know of two people now that had physical ridiculous strength. As you know, probably some of David's mighty men also received some of that at some point. But yeah, and then we've got, you know, also interpret dreams. You know, Joseph, you know, interpreting dreams. And, oh yeah, by the way, you know, if you've got strength, we've got these really big white blocks that we love to sit on. If you want to move them, that would really be helpful. No, so interpreting dreams. I mean, think about it. Joseph interpreted dreams. And you know, not just him, but as my example, imagine this. You have a dream. And you go like, whoa, this is probably significant. Okay? And then you go, wait a minute, but we know two people at church who's walking in the interpretation of dreams all the time. Hey, let's go invite them for coffee, have a chat and a prayer through it, and then God says, hey, this is what I want, to say to you. Imagine how many dreams have we had where the Lord was trying to tell us something, trying to warn us something, trying to encourage us, trying to give us breakthrough in something. But we missed the message because we're not pursuing the gift of interpreting dreams enough. Now, I spoke to Pastor Richard, and I said, listen, do we have anybody like this? And he said, well, coincidentally, you know, this is part of Jolene's training, and, you know, she's busy with this as well. So if you've got a dream, and you're like, oh, man, I just don't get the meaning of this dream, but I know the Lord, you know, has something, you know, definitely go speak to her. But more importantly so, if this moment sounds like, whoa, I think the Holy Spirit is stirring something in my heart now, like, go speak to Jolene and say, hey, listen, I would love to walk in this gift. Let's ask God, you know, to give me this so I can, you know, be part of this body of actually, like, interpreting what the Lord is telling to us even while we're sleeping. It would be really cool and effective way of ministry. We'll get more breakthroughs. We'll get more, you know, revelation of who God is, you know, all that kind of stuff. So in terms of interpreting dreams, like, you know, go for it. And I forgot to put a star there, but there's a story connected to this one as well. So, during our moments of disunity, really early on in the year, I had a dream. I don't normally dream, and normally when I dream, it's in first person. But this one was in third person. And I was like, okay, this is weird. I vividly remember a dream. It's not my typical dream. And I just had that thing of, this one I need to check out. Now, luckily for us, there was a guy who went on Global Challenge in 2011 who was friends with one of the team leader and said, listen, I'm walking in the interpretation of dreams and there's fruit within his ministry. We know that because in the previous year when he went on Global Challenge, you know, that clearly showed. He said, if you guys have a dream, let me know about it. Email me. Back in the day, Skype was a thing. You know, Skype me and then we'll see if, you know, what the Lord is trying to say here. So I had this dream, and it was this dream of, you know, it's a third person, you know, top down view of this alleyway, and there's somebody with a beard sitting on the chair, and, you know, there's this people coming to attack him, and, you know, while sitting on the chair, he just does this ninja moves and fighting them off and blah, 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 and, you know, eventually everything quieted down, and then there's one guy running through a glass door that comes straight from the front instead of through the alleys, and then he gets off the chair and he, you know, he decapitates the guy, and then a lady comes in and kisses him, and then, you know, it was weird. And, you know, so I type it up, email it, send it to him. You know, we had a prayer moment, and, you know, we spoke through it, and he's, you know, he's constantly asking me, hey, listen, but, like, can you try to remember this part? Remember this part? Give me more detail. And eventually he's like, okay, cool, well, I believe we've got an interpretation for it. And he says, listen, this is something that's about to happen. It's a warning that is a warning to your team leader. There's going to be, you know, a rebellion within the team against the team leader. And because I was able to relay that message to him, 3 weeks later, lo and behold, that happened. The other person didn't even know about the dream, which was in my team. And our team leader was able to react, not out of an emotion, you know, backstepping moment, but he was able to preempt that moment and was able to deal with it, you know, more godly. He was able to deal with it out of wisdom and through prayer of, okay, well, if this is going to happen, Lord, give me wisdom. What needs to happen? So it was a really, really cool way of just seeing how the Lord is using me that hardly ever dreams, you know, to relay a prophetic dream and, you know, using somebody from across the world to do this. So I want to urge you, if you're sitting here and this sounds like something that's like, wow, I really actually love that the Lord used me in this, ask for it. Because it will edify the church. It will build the body of Christ. Then we also got, you know, things like hospitality. We're in Front Hook. You guys are awesome with this. Guys, whew, the standard here is high. I love it. Helping people. That's so vague. That's my favorite one. It is so vague. It means that insert anything here. Which means that there's basically no limit to this list. I mean, before today, like, if you think about the spiritual gifts, you know, if we think about beauty as the next one, you know, thinking of Esther. I mean, if strength and beauty can be a spiritual gift, like, I mean, helping people, like, anything that basically loves people, God can just, you know, superpower boost that thing and you know, make it a spiritual gift that helps and love people. So, now, these are just some of the stuff that I've got from the Bible of saying, but these are some of the gifts that God has got for us. So, in terms of, you know, what we can do to protect unity, first of all, if we know about the gifts, that's one thing, okay? Know about the gifts, and then also pursue the gifts. Know about them, use them, you know, walk in them. And then, just like the lovely, you know, drama play skit thing that we had here, is don't be jealous of one another's gifts. If somebody here is like, actively praying in tongues prophetically, and there's an interpretation of tongues, you know, don't pursue it out of jealousy. Pursue it out of, we want to honor God through that, yes. But if God says, hey, listen, we don't want all of you to be a speed cop. We don't want all of you to just do tongues, interpretation of tongues. Hey, you know, what about all the other stuff? You know, ask God, what is it that you want to use me for? And pursue that. Don't be jealous of one another's gifts. Make space for developing, you know, other body parts. Okay? Of course, metaphorically. You know, if you are a person that is operating in prophecy and there's somebody else that's like, you know, kind of pursuing it, mentor the person. We sit with, you know, if you are awesome at doing the sound desk, doesn't mean you always have to do the sound desk. You know, get somebody in. Yes, they might not be as good as you because you are experienced, but they will not get as good as you if you don't develop them. Give them space. So literally actively think about mentoring and discipling people, you know, into this if you are already walking into it. Ask God for more gifts. Like I said, pursue it because it edifies the church. Be slow to anger and quick to forgive. How many of you, just by raise of hands, how many of you know a person that has been hurt by the church? If you know of somebody that's been hurt by the church, I mean, it happens all the time. It happens all the time. What I want to urge you is, at some point here, somebody might offend you. Somebody might say something that you go like, ooh, that one didn't sit macka with me. Okay? Be slow to anger and quick to forgive. We are human. We are sinful humans. We will mess up. The one thing that we definitely should not do is judge Christ based on the sins of Christians. If we do that, we miss the point. If we do that, then, I mean, that's silly. I mean, that's why Christ came, so to get rid of the sins. So if you think Christ is all about the sin of the Christians, it just logically doesn't make sense. So if somebody messes up, be slow to anger and quick to forgive. Don't judge others that they are judging you. Probably one of the most judged things in this era, I believe, is the fact that people judge others that they judge them. Oh, he's probably judging me, that's why he's looking at me like that. It's like, no, there's a fly on your forehead. No, he's actually so deeply in prayer that they have no idea where they're looking. Oh, they probably think this and this of me, or, oh, I can't do this because, you know, maybe they'll think it's weird if I dance in worship. well, no, actually, we love it. Do it. Don't judge others that they are judging. Like, don't judge others, period. But also, that's one of the things that we definitely shouldn't forget. Trust leadership and build them up. Richard and Jolene is not here at the moment, so they don't have to shy away. But guys, I mean, there's so many scriptures out there that speaks about, you know, submitting under authority and, you know, trusting the leadership. If we rebel against leadership, if we you know, badmouth them, or we, then we are not doing what God is telling us to do. Right? They've got a massive responsibility that God has given unto them. And this is not just Richard and Jolene. This is wherever you go, Body of Christ, church, you know, this also applies to work-related, non-spiritual things. By the way, yeah, this is, you know, do this in your marriage, do this at your work, wherever you go, like, but today's focus is church environment. If we see something small, that they, I was like, oh, I don't like this. You know, and we badmouth them on this. It breaks down unity. It breaks down trust. It breaks down the momentum that we have. I mean, if you think about it, you know, David acted really, really harshly, you know, against people who came up against, you know, the authority, because he said, that's wrong. Don't do that. All right? He had the chance to kill Saul while Saul was trying to kill him. You know, and he said, no, I'm not going to kill you. I'm going to show you that I could have, just to show that I am with you. I'm not going to raise my hand against the anointed of the Lord. All right? So, very strong biblical, you know, principle is don't badmouth them, even if you see something small. Bible says, hey, one-on-one. Take them aside, talk to them about it. Maybe you get insight from that conversation, or they get insight from the conversation, and they grow through that. But one-on-one through wisdom. All right. And then, don't be quick to quarrel. Ooh, that group of mine. My goodness, me and this one guy. Oh, we were quarreling all the time. And I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, why can't he just see in what I'm saying to him? Ooh, self-righteous there. And you know, the Lord took me to Proverbs. And I was like, don't be quick to quarrel. And I was like, okay, let's try this. When the guy just started with something, I just said, oh, okay. And he's like, it's like, why aren't you quarreling with me? I said, oh no, I just read in Proverbs that a fool is quick to quarrel. That shut both of us up immediately. It's like overnight, the quarreling just ended. But if there's quarreling amongst us, that breaks down unity. It breaks down the momentum of ministry. And then a big one, fellowship. If there's fellowship, if we, you know, go on camp, if we, you know, are here for picnics between, you know, whatever time in the morning until whatever time at night, that moments of small group and getting together is when you get to know people for who they are. That is when it is easier to be slow to anger and quick to forgive, because you know the other person for who they are and what they're going through. It's easier not to judge them. It makes everything a lot easier. It means that also you get to know in what gifts are they operating. So that whenever I need somebody that has a gift to speak to the youth, you know who to ask. Whenever you need, you know, we're trusting God for healing for something, we know who to ask. Whenever we need somebody to play drums, you know, like, I know a drummer. You know, there he is. Like, if we are fellowship, it means that we understand the momentum that we have. We understand that, yes, this guy is going to go to the right, then to the left, and then dip it into the bucket. So I can fit in right here. Okay? Again, if you're listening through audio, this will all make sense if we have a video. I hope that we can have a video. I'll try and convince my guys. So the fellowship is ridiculously important in that sense, because it affects everything else. And that is why it's so awesome to have you guys as a congregation. You are blessed. Because I believe we have fellowship. And I pray and I urge you, protect it. Really, really protect it. Right. So, today I want to ask, if you are sitting here, and you're like, damn, I need to forgive somebody, you know, I'm quarreling, or this guy offended me, or something like this. And you're like, I'm sitting here with, you know, something's not right between me and somebody else. Ooh, I've been bad-mouthing this person. You know, I want you to take a moment, and I'm going to go through a list, and we're going to end it off with just you and the Lord, time with Him. So if you feel like, oh man, me and my peer, me and my bro, we're not good. I've been bad-mouthing this person. I've been, you know, they've offended me and I haven't forgiven them yet. I want you to spend time in prayer afterwards, you know, after I've gone through the list with the Lord, and just deal with it. If you don't know what body part you are, if you look at that list and you're like, Lord, my goodness, I don't identify with any of this. I want you to pray and ask the Lord to reveal it to you. Luckily, I mean, it also says pursue it, ask for it. Pick something, anything. Say, Lord, this thing looks cool. Lord, when He said this word, I felt something in my heart. And it starts racing. This, I want this. Lord, give me this. Lord, I want to be part of this body actively. Now, I mean, just more than a year ago, I tore my shoulder ligament in a hockey match. I had to go for a bit of recovery and stuff like this. And then what happened was one of the muscles, got damaged or so, kind of got deactivated. And I had shoulder pain for about a year. And then, I went to the bio, who's at kids ministry at the moment. And, she just said, oh, no, we just need to reactivate this muscle. Basically, this one muscle is just, not active at all. So if we reactivate this muscle, then you won't have any shoulder pain anymore. 2 weeks. Can you imagine? 1 year of pain and bad sleep, and then 2 weeks. All she did was just like, hey, let's reactivate this muscle. And then, boom, the body was functioning again. All right? So if you're a muscle that's not activating, it means everybody else is also kind of like have to step up their game. And, you know, but if you're sitting here and you go like, I don't know what body part I am. Or you might sit here and it's like, well, I know I'm kind of this body part, but I'm not really doing much and I probably should. You're like, that's another thing. If you're sitting here and that is on your heart, I want you to pray into that and say, hey, Lord, activate me. Step up and activate me, because it's also a bit of a decision. All right? And then if you're sitting here and you go like, yo, I've heard the sermon before and I've moved on to it. I'm an active body part. I know where God is using me and I'm actively pursuing that. Praise God for that. And I want you to ask and join us in prayer so that this fellowship that we have and the unity that we have stays protected. Help disciple and mentor the guys who's developing theirs. Right? Because together we can have an awesome moving body for ages to come. So I want you, if we can just have some kind of background emotional music playing. If we could just bow our heads in prayer. I want to give us about 3 minutes. Just 3 minutes. And pray to the Lord, whatever it is, one of those four things. Just thank you for this awesome congregation of amazing people that have a heart that wants to pursue you. Lord, thank you that you have made us unique. Thank you that you have distributed the gifts as you please. Lord, I pray, would you bless us with even more of you? Lord, would you bless people with a gift of interpreting dreams. And if there is somebody like that already, Lord, I pray that they get busy with a whole bunch of dreams and messages that you have for us. Lord, I pray that you would bless us with words of prophecy. Lord, I pray, Lord, that we have so much more of you. Thank you. Lord, not only that we can be effective in ministry to reach the lost, Lord, but that we can edify the church and get to know you better through prophecy. That we can get to know you better through the tongues and the interpretations of it. That we can get to know you better. That our relationship with you will be strengthened. That our faith would be strengthened. That our love and our desire for you would grow. And that the people that are lost get found. If you're sitting here and you go like, oh my goodness, this body of Christ sounds amazing and I don't feel part of it, I want to encourage you to, when we dismiss the church, to come forward. And, you know, somebody, one of the small group leaders, will be here to pray with you. But I also want to encourage you, if you were one of the top three on the list, those that need to forgive somebody, those who are unsure of, you know, what body part they are, and those who kind of know what body part they are, they're just not active, I want to encourage you, go tell somebody about your prayer today. Go tell somebody. A friend, family member, accountability partner. Go tell somebody about your prayer today. Tell them that you've decided to be active. Tell them that you are seeking, you know, your role and your giftings. Tell them that you've forgiven somebody, or that you're, you know, in the process of. Use the body. That's why we're here. We hold each other accountable, because then we just get breakthrough so much quicker, easier. And if there's somebody backing you in prayer. Lord Jesus, we just want to honor you as our God and King. And we want to say thank you for your presence here. Because where there's two or more gathered in your name, you are there. When there's unity, you are there. Thank you that we could experience you. We can experience you on a daily basis, not only during worship, corporate worship, but in our personal lives, in our personal worship, in our daily devotions. That we reap the benefits of your grace and your favor every single day. Thank you for that. And I pray the protection of your blood over this place and its people. Lord, that unity will not be disrupted whatsoever. That there will be no quarreling. There will be no bad mouthing. There will be no jealousy. But there would be a group of people just loving one another. And that people will know we are Christians by the way we live, not because we say it to them. And that would be evident across this whole valley. Thank you, Jesus.